I'd love to have that hymn at my funeral. It's becoming a little bit of a favourite of mine, but there's something inspiring about the words where I'm almost ready to go. And I don't say that flippantly, I say it sensitively, but there is a sense in which when we're together, there's a taste of heaven this morning. Someone said it to me last week, and I was like, well, that's true. There is a taste of heaven now on earth. And I think when you get that taste, it does something where you want to go and see your Creator again. You want to see him face to face. Do you get that at all? It's incredible, isn't it, this morning, just that little taste. Lord, just that little crumb of your table is enough. Just that little crumb of your table, I'm ready to go. First of all, apologies, I was late this morning. You may have seen me rushing in a little bit late. It's the first time ever that I'd forgotten my Bible and my notes. And I'd actually got here early to church, and then was just getting out of the car and my Bible wasn't there, and I was like, oh, panic. So is there a verse about like the word running swiftly? Is there? Well, it was running swiftly in my car as I had to go home and back again. So, let's just pray, shall we? Lord, here we are. Lord, we're your body here. Members that have just been placed in, fixed in, fitted in, Lord. And amazing you've given us ears to hear. Lord, we just open our ears now to hear your voice, Lord. Lord, often it comes through a trembling man or woman, even a young person, Lord, but it's your voice we want to hear. Lord, think of all the illustrations of those in the Bible that, Lord, didn't feel worthy enough to even speak your words, but then you amazingly came and spoke, Lord, even through Jeremiah, Isaiah, who struggled with his lips that they were uncircumcised. Lord, many examples, Lord, and we come here this morning, Lord. Place ourselves that you would speak. You already have graciously this morning through one another. Thank you for your body, Lord. Thank you, Lord, forever fitting me in with your amazing mercy and grace, Lord, even me. Even you in this room this morning, by his wonderful grace, can be fitted into this incredible body, his church. Amen, Lord. Well, the theme of this morning is those rivers of living water. And I was there on Thursday night and was so challenged by those verses in John chapter 7. And I actually have been preparing to speak about those verses. So it was confirmation in my little heart that Lord saying, go on, son, you're on the right road here. The Lord does that, I think, in his body. He speaks on a theme. And I think sometimes it's because our ears are so blocked that he has to keep repeating it to us. Can I be right in saying that? Yeah. I'm saying it for myself. He will often just speak and speak something where we fully then understand it. And it's really challenged me. Before we go to that chapter, we had a week, and a real blessed week at the New Life Conference at Quinta. And Before going, I'd said, Lord, would you just speak to me? Did you ever do that? Lord, would you just speak to me? Just a whisper. We often usually go with some kind of agenda of, I need clarity on this thing. This is huge. What am I going to do? But I just wanted to hear his voice. I just wanted something of, just an assurance of, keep going, son. Keep going. And so I had the New Life conference week where I think the Lord does speak to us individually in your bedroom, in your closet, but he also, I think, loves a gathering of people. And you can trace that through the Old Testament. And whenever I get together at Quinta, I always think of like almost the old Israel coming together in the tents, the marquees, and the different. And then there's the centrality of the meeting tent in the middle, and it really speaks to me. But I think that the Lord in that week just he just spoke to me just wonderfully, and it was through when Ron Bailey was preaching there, speaking, and he mentioned that he'd observed, he was in Poland at the time, and he'd observed that whenever they get, before, if the telephone goes, whoever picks it up, in Polish they say a word, I'm going to say it wrong here, I'm not sure if there's any, Suham. And it really just means, and they say it before even the conversation starts, which is interesting, but it says basically, I'm listening. I'm listening. And out of the whole week of the conference, it just spoke to my heart that we have to position ourselves, come unto the Lord and just be listening. It just spoke to me. And this man's observation of a Polish man in Poland on the telephone spoke to me, simpleton, saying, listen. One of the biggest things that will rob the church at the moment, I believe, is that our attention can be so elsewhere in so many different things. Good things. And I realised that in this week of the New Year's. Oh, see, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Of New Life Conference Quinta. Is that the Lord wants to speak to the whole body, but in particular, he just wanted to whisper to me. And that week, after coming in from war or work or the busyness, and he just said, Suham. And that thing of, I'm listening, clearly spoke to me. And then I thought about an interesting character in the Bible. And I just wanted to speak just a little bit about him. And I have before, but Samuel. And those little scriptures. And if you have a Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 3. You know, amazingly, the Lord... his presence was in the temple, and he often spoke in the temple, and the priests would serve there. And it says here in the verses that Samuel ministered to the Lord. And just a little bit of context. At the time, it was a real changing time for Israel, that it was changing from judges and prophets to kings. And I often think that whenever there's a change or transition, it can be a little bit of a tough one for people. Change. You can think it in your normal life. Change can be a little bit unsettling. And then there was a real change within the nation of Israel at the time. And amazingly, the Lord called to Samuel. And just remember, he's 12 years old. Okay, I have to keep pinching myself. This boy is 12 years old, but he's in a good place because his mum, Hannah, had basically lent him to God that he would minister in the temple. I think it's mentioned that he would be lent to God all the days of his life. And I keep thinking, whenever you lend something to someone, usually like some tools for DIY, or you usually kind of say, can I have that, you know, maybe back in a couple of weeks, or, you know, or something. But Hannah lent him for the days of his life, and I just found that amazing. So here we are, we're in the temple, and God speaks. This is to the boy Samuel. And he says in chapter 3, verse 4, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Just want to stop there. What days do we live in at the moment? Would you say that there is widespread revelation? I'm throwing it out there. I mean, usually, you know, you don't have to shout it back, or... I'm not sort of asking for some deep meaning, but it caught me that at the time there was no widespread revelation. And I read the preface. This is going a bit random. I read the preface in this book here. It talks about these hymns, these poetry that were written, and I think written in times of revival. That's why they are amazing. They are something that we aspire to, and also they inspire. But is it a time when there was real revival? These days, is there the same? I'm just throwing it out there. Is there clear revelation from the Lord at the moment? And one of the dangers is that if there isn't you can actually, when God does speak, you can get into this little routine of not having your ears really attentive to him. And then let's just go on, because it actually emphasizes it here. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at the time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow dim, so that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle, so each one of the jobs that Samuel would do as a young boy would be that he would light the lampstand there, and it's usually obviously before they go to bed, and then it would stay on through the night. Then when they wake up in the morning, the lights would go out. Amazing, isn't it? But just one little job that he would do. He wasn't just sat there idly, not doing too much. He was actually just doing things in the temple. And where the ark, and he was, the Lord was where the ark was, and while Samuel was lying down, and the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he's obviously, Eli's been woken up now. I don't know what you're like when you're woken up. Some people are a little bit grumpy, I'm not sure. And he said, "I did not call, lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, as you called me." And he answered, "I did not call you." Now, it's not in the scripture now, but I'm a little bit thinking about, he's probably getting a little bit frustrated a second time of someone that Samuel's coming again. A 12-year-old boy should be seen and not heard, possibly. Isn't that a phrase that... Now, verse 7. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. That's the interesting thing. He did yet not have a relationship, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. Can you see the amazing patience of the Lord Jesus, his long-suffering? That he calls you, and this time, third time it's coming up. Now the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." I'm thinking of Eli's face now to Samuel. I think there would have been some communication, not verbally, but maybe some eyes rolling, possibly. And it says, "Therefore, Eli," verse 9, "said to Samuel, 'Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" And I'm going back to that Polish word, słucham. I'm listening. "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." And I think at this time, it took three times even for Eli to realize that it was God that was speaking. It also took that for Samuel. I find it amazing. And then it says this. "Now the Lord came, stood and called as at the other time, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel answered, 'Speak, for your servant hears.'" Each time that the Lord Jesus, that God has spoken to Samuel, it's usually just one name, Samuel. The last time, the fourth time, it's Samuel, Samuel. And I wondered if the volume was getting louder. But it's just an amazing thing that the Lord wants to speak to you and I. Through, amazingly, the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit, he calls down your name. You know, I'm thinking about all the first time in scripture, I was reading in Genesis when God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. He was wanting to speak to Adam and Eve, wasn't he? And where were they? They were hiding. I believe all he wanted was that wonderful, sweet communion. He wanted a people that were obedient. Adam and Eve hid. There was embarrassment, there was shame. And this morning I was thinking, it's usually in the cool of the day that the challenge is that we must have ears that are wide open. You know, one of the biggest things of, I've chatted to different people, and maybe people with different things going on in their lives, I pretty much always come back to this thing of, do you have a disciplined time in your day where you get before the Lord Jesus? I could give them books. I could give them 10 ways to do this, 10 ways to do that. the biggest instruction or help for people these days, I believe, is be with the Lord Jesus. Have you this morning been with the Lord Jesus? This morning before here? Describe it as in the cool of the day or before the sun rises, or have you been with the Lord Jesus? I'm not purposely pausing, and I'm not purposely making you feel a little bit like, oh, I've missed it today. I haven't really done that. It's essential. Amen. It is essential. It's something that I think now that I've learnt off those that are older than me. And I remember seeing dad or family members, and he'd often, one of the pictures that you'd see is that early in the morning, they'd be in a seat and their Bible would just be open. They'd have that time just with the Lord Jesus. Can I just say, anyone that's younger here, the biggest, best advice that I can do is be with the Lord Jesus. Have this open. Sometimes it means shutting it. And we heard on Thursday from Jenny. Jenny, I'm going to say this all wrong, but you said you were reading something. It was about the rock in Exodus, wasn't it? The rock that was smitten and the water comes out. And you said about that you felt on your heart from the Lord that you must just stop reading but drink. There's sometimes that time when you're in your quiet time when you just, oh, drink of him. Drink of the Lord Jesus. Something I missed out on when I was younger. I didn't have enough time being with the Lord Jesus. Rushed around into so many different things. But where the growth comes from the body in the church is if you, 10 precious minutes in the morning, before that the sun rises, before the busyness of the life, just position yourself like Samuel. You know, Samuel would have been next to the altar. I think there would have been some heavy, thick rug and he would have just been lying down. He was waiting for the Lord to speak. That was one of his jobs. At a time when there was not much revelation, so he could have been thinking, well, it's not, nothing's going to happen here, nothing. Each day, just that little nugget of a time with the Lord Jesus. And I know I'm probably speaking to people that do it all the time and you're amazing and you're all... But you know, some things can get a little bit habit-like or even forgetful. We did a seminar, Helen and I, at Quinter about disengaging with the church. Many are disengaging with church. And I'd say one of the things is not cultivating these little wonderful habits of just being with the Lord Jesus. You might be sat there thinking, well, that's not great revelation, Mark. I know that. But I would say this, it's from that place that rivers of living water will flow. It's not a river, it's rivers, by the way. I had to read it over and over and over. I was thinking, it's not. We sing a chorus. There is a river that which there is a. It's rivers. Have you had your time this morning with the Lord Jesus? You know what will come out from it if you do? Sweetness. The river that comes from the throne of God. That water, sweet water. Quenches so many things in our lives. And Samuel, he was in that temple and he was waiting, and there started an incredible relationship. I thought just a little bit about the temple. We've heard quite a bit about the temple from here recently, various temples, and it took me to this thing of, there will be a time in the New Jerusalem, there will be no temple. Do you know that? I confess I didn't know that. I should have, but maybe. Don't hold it against me. But I was reading Revelation. It talks about the New Jerusalem. It describes it as this, that there will not be a temple. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb will be its light and be the temple. Isn't that amazing? I know I'm going off on a little bit here, but that's an incredible thing. Samuel was in a place where God would come in his presence and speak. There will be a day in the New Jerusalem where he will be there. He will be there. He will be the light. He will be the thing that illuminates so many things. after Samuel comes this character Saul. Now if you can just compare the two, Saul was impetuous. He didn't hear God's voice. He often went into battle a bit too early, usually lost. The army became arrogant of Israel. But Samuel, I think there was something there, that something was cultivated in him where he had time just with God. And this morning, can I just say that to you? Do you have time with God? It's the biggest hindrance, the biggest distraction. And I know it's very hard when you've got a house that's full, you're getting things ready. The very practical things in life have to be done. Got to get the uniforms ready. And we have a team effort going on in our house, and there's some noise, and then there's some. But even this morning, just the 10 minutes sat on the bed saying, Lord, would you speak? Oh, it's wonderful just to actually be quiet. You know, God created us with two ears and one mouth. Work out the ratio. It's true. Oh, we're so quick, aren't we? We're so quick. I'm saying about myself, okay? I can be a little bit rude because I'm saying it to myself, but we're very quick to, even in a problem situation, even in something that you're straight away, it's like, no, wait, get these out. Talked about ears tingling. Have your ears tingled before? Waiting for God to speak. I've heard of teeth chattering together, but it describes in here ears tingling. Anticipation. Oh, how we need the Lord to speak. And each day, and I think back, we don't need to go and get light the lampstand that Samuel did. We don't need to get the rug and wait right near the altar and wait for the precious Lord's given that wonderful help of the Holy Spirit, that each day we can come and listen out for the Lord, and he might just say your name. Samuel. Samuel. How does the Lord speak? I've got here my notes. How do I hear him? I've often been one that stands up here and then says, it's fine to say these things, but how do I practically say that to people? Of some of the things that you could do to hear the Lord's voice. It's great to expose and have a great exposition about what is said here. But then I'm thinking, I'm from a generation, I want then someone to say, well, do these practical things. And the Lord, honestly, can speak to you. And I've said one of them, get before the Lord Jesus early. Before the day starts. I know. There's many here that could testify that they've done that for so many years, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful blessing to them, but mainly to others. Here's another way. How do I hear from him? Give him time. I've put here, give him attention. That Polish word says, I'm listening. That means that there is intention there. That you've got your ears open. The next one is reading. Often I'm just reading, and then I will actually just read, and something amazingly just speaks through this living word, and it comes in, and then it actually outworks in the situation and circumstance that I'm going through. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that honestly amazing? That this thing here, the Lord says it's living, and Hebrews describes as living. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And it can actually speak to us. It can speak to me in the absolute mould of mould, which is in North Wales. Can you get that one? In the mould, in the dust, in the... I love the town, by the way, and I know there's people from North Wales here. I love it. I work there, 10 hours a day, and it's... But even... To go and go into that dusty place of a work environment where there's people that using the Lord's name in vain. It's this that will keep you clean. It's this thing that will just in some ways come in and live and just outwork and flow. And I'm not even come on to the main thing yet about that John chapter 7, about having rivers of living water flowing out. But please, attention and time to the Lord Jesus. Reading. Praying. We had a prayer course. You know, the main thing I got from that prayer course is I loved hearing people talking about their prayer life. It was encouraging. Learning off different people. Just in small groups. Praying. It's a key. Worship I've got. We often have music and worship in our house. I'm not sure what our neighbours think. We haven't had any complaints yet. But then Helen's got a good voice. And it stops about there, really. But worship, does it spring up? Not just the singing type, but your everyday worship to the Lord Jesus. That stooping down, the washing the feet. Revelation 3 says, I am at the door, I stand at the door and knock if anyone hears. You know, he's not someone that is just... It said here in Samuel that he came, he stood and he called. And I'm just linking that now with that thing in Revelation at the door. That he ever came, and I, in my little Bible here, it's falling apart, my Bible. But this thing where it mentions about Samuel, that the Lord came, stood and called. As at the other times, I thought about the cross. I thought, how amazing that the Lord ever came. How amazing that he stood. And I thought about that he stood on behalf of us at the cross for all the sin that we've got. And he's calling out even today. Just those three simple words. Lord, thank you for ever coming. Thank you for ever standing in my place and your place. Taking on the sin and shame of everyone here. And thank you, Lord, that the call has gone out. Isn't that amazing? Excuse me. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. And they follow me. John chapter 10. There's endless places in Scripture. And I realise that's probably why that it's good to be repeated. Is that I do believe sometimes these things here, they need to tingle again. They need to tingle with anticipation that the Lord can speak into people's lives. I believe it. Psalm 95, it says, today, if you will hear my voice or his voice, today. That's not putting it off to waiting for a big conference. Or I'll wait till some other thing. I'll wait until usually it's when you're going through possibly the hardest of hardest times. That then you're grappling for some voice to help you out. No. Each day, just have ears that are just waiting for a little whisper. I didn't read this, but I haven't gone through it myself, but it said, God spoke audibly to Abraham 7 times over a period of 30 years. And then it says, I found about 25 people that God spoke to audibly and individually in Scripture. Isn't that amazing? I think I've heard before from people to say that they've actually heard God audibly speak to them. And I don't want to, you know, it's easy to say, oh, I'm not sure about, you know, that's great. And but God has, in the past, has spoken, hasn't he? Where does it say? It says it in Hebrews. You don't need to go there. Let me just read it out. Hebrews chapter 1, it says this. God, verse 1, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Amazing. Amazing how he speaks. let's go on. What time is it? Quarter past, I was going to say quarter past seven. Quarter past 12. Let's go on to John chapter 7. Just, you know, it came through on Thursday night in a prayer meeting. I often find that there's generally the prayer time together is a time of drinking, you know. Drinking his spirit. Just drinking his presence. You know, it really gets you through. I know it's been mentioned up here before that he's a through God, isn't it being described? He does get you through, and I realise that just praying together and often praying for other people takes in some ways the eyes off yourself a little bit. It's a healthy thing, praying for other people. I think I got into a bit of a rut years ago in my 20s that I was so concerned about my spiritual vitality in life that I'd actually forgotten that really this thing is about thinking about other people and the Lord Jesus primarily, but praying for other people. And then this burden lifted that I didn't have to be someone, didn't have to act like someone. It was this thing of, oh Lord, just, you know, flow through this simpleton that other people would see Jesus. It's a wonderful privilege, you know. Even in workplaces. And let's go to Matthew chapter 7, an incredible chapter. John. You know, this morning I forgot my Bible. I arrived late. Tired, thank you, Diane. Oh, sorry, just going back to the New Life Conference, the Quinter Week. I walked around that campsite and I chatted to various men in particular over the years. There was a genuine weariness in there. And in actual fact, the Lord spoke clearly in that week, I think, about speaking in the weariness, the times when you're weary. Just as an encouragement for anyone here this morning, just in the weariness of the day to day, the Lord just comes in, brings a wonderful sweet water right from the throne, and then it just helps you. Wonderful thing. And I felt that just in that week at Quinter. The temptation is to arrive all bubbling. It's all kind of this. I went round the campsite and I spoke to people going through circumstances that there was some weariness there. It's okay, the Lord knows it. He's right there in the weariness. He's right there. Get equally yoked again. Wonderful. Not Matthew, but John chapter 7. These scriptures, I love them because they're just so simple to understand. Let's just read it, a little bit of a context of it. John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last day, the great day of the feast, this was the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood and cried out. And I'll read it first, here we go. He cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And they will flow. That's not, they may in certain times that we're going through. No, they will flow. "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." And I just want to, I looked up a little bit of the context of the Feast of Tabernacle. Basically, this was a time at the end of the dry season. I've got it down here. It was the end of the dry season. And what they did, it was usually round about September, October. And what they would do, the Jews would get a pitcher, you know, the water to, and they would go down to the pool of Siloam, fill up the water, take the water, and then they would pour this water out on the altar, and they would say their prayers that the rainy season would come early. And I'm sure for what reasons of crops, harvests. So they would go up and do their prayers, and they would then take the water and pour it out. And I thought, hang on, the context here of what Jesus is saying is right in the end of the dry season. And he says this, and I wonder if that's why he's saying this thing here. He says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." It spoke to me that there isn't this thing of, well, we've got to go down to that pool down there, and then I'll get this water, and then we'll have to go over there, and then I'll pour it on the altar then, and then I'll do some prayers, and we'll wait for... It's not that. It bypasses it. It's this thing of coming to Him. Jesus. Him. What is the effort on our part? To come. Doesn't matter how you're feeling this morning, just to come. It basically gets rid of the little ritual part. And He just gives us amazing access straight away to Him. Isn't that wonderful? The Feast of the Tabernacles, at the end of the dry season. I've said it here, Jews would fill their pitcher of water. Oh, there's no striving, it's this thing of just coming. You've come here this morning, I believe. Yeah. I know you've had to do things to get here. Some of you are on time, some of us were late. But you've just come, haven't you? Wonderful. And we've fed off one another. Fed off people that have testified, prayed, sung. I feed off people even when they're not even speaking. Sometimes my eyes are just looking up and I love to see people worshipping the Lord Jesus. It's fresh, it's wonderful. But this morning He's just saying, come. And then it goes on and it says this. He who believes in Me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I used to think it was a river. It's rivers of living water. But this He spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in Him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Now listen to these verses after. This is where confusion comes in. It says this, therefore many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, truly this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was division among... Can you see the... Straight away after the call of coming to Me in a simple way and drinking, if you're thirsty, come to Me. Straight away there was this division of, oh, where, who am I coming to? Blah, blah. Well, he's not from David. Is he from David? What seed is he from? I don't know if... We sometimes can confuse so many things. And so many things have to come into our little checklist that it's all correct and right and in order. And yes, now I will come and listen to... He's saying, come. Lay aside every weight. Lay aside this morning every weight, every baggage. And He's just saying, simply come. Now what happens when you come? Can I just go to this amazing verse in Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 4. Because someone could easily say to me, what do you mean? What do you mean, come? And, well, I believe it means that there is some response from your heart. I believe the Lord just looks out. One of the things that the devil will do, and he loves to do, is to pinch the response from your heart. When we're gathered together or in your own individual life, He often will come in and he'll whisper. Do you remember when He was in the garden? He's the great deceiver. He will deceive you with another voice. But Jesus just wants you to come. And there's a response. And one of the things that really spoke to me, what happens? Well, chapter 4 of Hebrews, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit. I'll finish it off. And of joints and marrow. And it is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I found that just amazing. I've just linked that in with just your little time with the Lord Jesus. That in that little time, the word that lives, the Lord Jesus lives, and in and through this word here, it will come in and it will discern thoughts and intents in your life. And it's in that place there, I believe, that there, that the rivers of living water can flow. I looked into the history of swords. In particularly two-edged swords. I love looking at all the facts in the Bible, like the shield of faith. I remember looking into it, just helps me. I've got a mind that loves pictures, and I was thinking about a two-edged sword. What's so good about a two-edged sword over a one-edged sword? Anyway, there isn't much, but I thought I'd just... But I would say one thing, that a two-edged sword, it is dangerous, actually, to the person that wields it as well as the assailer. And I thought, well, in actual fact, that's true. They did say that it's actually... Because when you're going like this, and you're going like that, if it's a two-edged sword, you can easily do yourself damage, okay? But how is that relevant to what I'm talking about? It's not really, but can I just say a little reminder that it is sharper than a two-edged sword. It's sharper. I read it thinking it's as sharp as it. It's sharper. Oh, Jesus, wonderful Lord. His word this morning, sharper. It goes right through all of our little intents and ambitions this morning. Time is running out, but Lord, I don't often say, should we respond? But even last week, there seemed to be this theme of a river that's flowing. Last week here, and we prayed for various situations. Thursday nights, just the word came out from Linda and then Jenny sing. It's like, oh, Lord, can we be like Samuel and actually get to the place where it's like, my ears are tingling. Lord, I just want to simply be that life that flows with the wonderful living water. As you go to Falmouth, Imogen, just flow with it. You know, it was prayed earlier on about the light just going in that place. It will flow. It will flow through the work that you do with the textiles. It will flow in different workplaces, whether you're teaching here this morning, whether you're visiting from overseas, that wonderful flow. You can see it in people's faces. I was thinking about this the last few days, thinking I can almost sometimes sense people that have been with the Lord. I don't say it in a weird way, but you know, there's something there, there's some sweetness where you just know people have just had that time where they've just been in front of the Lord. I want to respond. I want to say this morning, Lord, would you find this vessel ready to be poured, ready just to be a flowing vessel again? Do you want that? Maybe the ears have been slightly blocked, maybe because the Lord's not spoken, maybe for a long time. Maybe things like hurts have come in. And this morning you just need that wonderful living water from the Lord Jesus that will just come in again. Your next question could be, well, how? Well, one of the things is respond. I'm sat there often on a Sunday and my heart just wants to respond. One of the things that used to hinder me about just saying, Lord, here I am, I'm your servant, I want to hear, is often a thing of fear. Pretty much always the last to maybe just raise the hand and say, that's gone now. Lord, I respond. And this morning, if you want that wonderful living water to come in again, then you can do it. One of the things is it won't just cure the thing that you're going through right now. One of the benefits is it just brings you into that wonderful relationship with the Lord Jesus. God so wanted it with Adam and Eve. He wanted that, just that continued fellowship. Maybe that's been broken. Maybe that's come into your life through various things in this morning. If you want just to come again and just say, Lord, come and flow through me again. We sing the songs, we know the scripture, but you know, after that, it means that you've just got to do something. Precious Lord, I'll just pray. He's a wonderful, wonderful Saviour that has given us access through the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit, that each day we can be filled, continually filled, and can flow out. Lord, we don't want to be a people that just want to gather in the water, that it stagnates. We want that living water to flow out, Lord. Lord, I think of the young lady at my work that on Friday, she just mentioned to me that she's dealing with this stress at the moment, and she's got these 10 ways in which she actually just goes out and does breathing exercise and the like. And I just said to her, well, I pray. And she looked at me blankly, but Lord, I pray, Lord, that she would come to a place where she could come. Even like to that wonderful well, Lord Jesus, where the water flows, comes up from the deep, doesn't just quench something that's of a day. It comes, Lord, and Lord, it goes right through us into someone else. If you want that this morning, that living water, then just call out to the Lord Jesus. Forget about the person you're sat next to. Just say, tell him.